realize with that joke you just intro'd the show, because we're going with that as the egg. Hello, welcome to the Rancor Pit.
Yes, indeed. You like Star Wars? You like the Wookiees? Well, you've come to the right place for both, especially apparently if you like the wrestling.
Yes.
Because I understood the Chewbacca part. I don't know who that other...
Oh, you know who John Cena is?
I do.
Here, Cole, I'll give you a reference that you'll get.
All
right. Oh, yeah! We're coming in strong! Dig it!
Did he snap into a Slim Jim? No, that's...
A little bit.
I think he's doing that guy from that Duracell commercial where he has him knock the battery off of his shoulder. Not quite sure. Okay.
I'm talking about Australian footballer Jacko.
There you go, Jacko.
Jacko!
Yes, this is the record.
Yeah, I don't know. There, go ahead.
Yeah, all right. No, go ahead.
My stupid talk for the
You have somehow found your way to the Rancor Pit, and somehow you have found your way into, like, we've already derailed. But, yes, the voices you heard, that was Jedi Cole Houston. I'm Eddie Medina, and we have two very special guests with us tonight from the Holy Nerdy Podcast. None other than Chris Arnold and Caleb Darling. Say hello, guys.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having
What's
us.
What's going on?
Yeah,
this is awesome, man. I got to say, we're going to have some fun tonight. I promise you that.
Oh, we definitely are. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we should, Cole, did you record the pre-show stuff? Because we should literally release that as a podcast.
Try to find a way to release that.
As a JCU extra.
Yeah, that's right. We'll have like some paid content. If you want to hear what kind of crap goes on before the show.
Yeah,
for real.
Because there
was... find out things that one of our guests wants no one to ever know.
Or
you can go to their paid content, either one. And, of course, if you want to find out some dish some dirt on the Midnight Movie Cowboys,
We'll
have special paid.
we're just plugging everyone's show tonight. Like,
yeah, that's right.
Like, forget our show. Go listen to all these other shows. Oh my god!
We're sorry you're here.
we bantered for like 45 minutes, and we're already. I'm sweating. I'm telling you right now, I have sweat pouring off my forehead. I'm like wiping myself with a towel.
I don't think we've ever had any of our guests say that we make them sweat.
Yeah.
And that includes makes me so sweaty. I just can't stand it.
And that includes the guy who was on his treadmill for the whole hour with us.
Yeah.
Well, he ain't running it. That's the case. I look at a treadmill and I start sweating. When I just look at it, that guy was not running on it. He was using it as something else, probably to shoot his popcorn down to him so he can eat it.
More.
He puts Cheez-Its on one end, and they create a snake, and they fly into his mouth like that viral YouTube video.
Yeah. But also, you know, you did succumb, Caleb, to our traditional pre-show grilling, where we sweat you out for information on other podcasts.
Yes.
Oh yeah. And I released all the information. I'm horrible at being tortured.
You really did. He even gave up John Cena.
I know.
Yeah. Like, boom. Fell like a house of cards there.
We didn't even have to pull out the bamboo shoots or anything. You just...
Nope. I think you pulled out the pliers and you just snapped them twice, and I was like, oh, there's all the information. Don't hurt
me. I've always been Negan. What?
Yeah. No waterboard, please.
No waterboard.
Oh my gosh. But since we're in the habit tonight of plugging everyone else's show, let's go ahead and give Chris and Caleb a chance to plug their show. So
absolutely. Tell us about Holy Nerdy Podcast here.
Go ahead, Chris. Yeah, I guess I'll start it off. Me and Caleb met in what, first grade?
Yeah, first grade.
Back when we were wee little tykes.
I was 13. In first grade.
Gosh! Oh my gosh!
You hit it off so well, you're thinking, you know what we ought to do? It's a podcast, whatever that's going to be.
Yeah, back then they just had the little box recorder.
Right. No, I just thought it was funny how you're like, we met first grade back when we were little kids. I hope we were little kids.
Just in case people are unaware of what the grade system is, because this does go out all over the world.
Yeah, that's right.
We did go to a Texas elementary school. I'm not saying anything bad here. I'm just saying.
Now, Caleb, are you originally from? You're originally from Texas, then, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I grew up. Both Chris and I grew up in the Panhandle of Texas. I know you guys like to say Dallas is North Texas, but there is like 6 hours more north, like 700 more miles north.
I've driven it.
Yeah, like Oklahoma area north. New Mexico area north. That's where Chris and I grew up, is out there.
That's because most people in this area don't realize there's more Texas beyond the Trinity River.
Oh, yeah.
You
know,
there is?
If it's west of the Trinity River, they don't know what the hell's over there. I've heard tell of this Fort Worth.
Fort Worth. That's the DFW, right?
Yeah, that's right. So that's the flaw at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, so
please, come on about your
okay. So
after,
in first grade, y'all started the podcast.
It's like one of those little. Remember in Toy Story, he had Mike, who was like that walking Woody had his little buddy that he used the microphone with.
The speaking spell.
It was the other one that had the microphone.
Oh, okay.
I used one of those back in the day to record podcast. Oh, geez, man.
Okay, wait. Toy Story, that's the one with the rogue, like, army guys that went mad? Oh, no, that's Small Soldiers.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right, yeah. I'm not sure. That mistake.
I don't think I've seen this Toy Story you speak of.
Whoa. Wait a second. This is a deal breaker, Eddie. You didn't tell me this.
We're done.
Filled with shame.
Cole, come on, man.
If it ain't Bugs,
like finding out your girlfriend doesn't like pizza, you're like, no, God, no.
So I want to make an announcement here real quick. Stephen Fett, our Ranker Pit Live intern, will be joining me as my new host on the Ranker Pit Live this Sunday over at WatchOnAirLive.com.
And make sure to tune into my new show all about Small Soldiers and. You know, in all honesty, I've never seen Small Soldiers, but I definitely have seen all the Toy Stories.
Okay, all right. You are redeemed, sir, but even still, that's questionable you haven't seen Small Soldiers. A lot of Gremlins references in that movie.
I haven't seen Gremlins either. No, I'm kidding.
No, but go ahead, Chris, because we got a lot of Star Wars talk to get into, and we're not going to get there. Going down these paths.
This is going to be like a three-hour podcast at this point.
Where did they end up? Oh, yeah. Little kids.
Yeah.
I moved away in sixth grade, to Dallas, and Caleb went wherever he went. I don't know where he went.
I stayed.
He just assumed you were so heartbroken that he left, that you left too.
Yeah.
I moved to Alaska.
I went to Hogwarts for a little while. Oh, shoot. I'm on the wrong show. My bad. I went to the Cantina.
There you go.
No.
Wait. You were just a kid. They don't serve your kind there.
What's that?
You were just a kid. They don't serve your kind there.
Oh, well, that's true. Well, I had my own. I had a droid that gave me a fake ID. It worked out pretty well.
Okay.
Plus, he was a larger child with a beard. And you look 21 going.
That's true. Yeah, he was 13 in the first grade, after all. So.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that tells you something. By the time sixth grade rolled around, I was 22.
Yeah, you do the math.
That worked out really well.
Yeah.
Well, definitely. Like, Chris moved, and I stayed in the town that we grew up in, real small, hick town. And then eventually, you know, we both went to college, did our own thing, and we talked, once a year, right, Chris, when we were in college?
There would be years where we didn't talk at all.
Because the technology didn't really exist. You didn't have Facebook. You know, MySpace was barely a thing back then.
Yeah, we didn't have that technology called phones back then.
Well, even still.
Paper, pencil, and stamp, you know.
We were broke college kids. I couldn't pay 88 cents a minute for a collect call just to talk about how awesome Batman Begins was.
Well, I like the fact that you're at least old enough to remember when that was a thing, when you were at college. Because my friend Steve and I wrote incessantly, because who had the money? It was bad enough you paid 3 cents for a stamp back then.
Yeah. 3 cents? Were you in Walnut Grove with the Eagles? I mean, three sentences. Good
little
night.
House on the prairie,
right?
The Pony Express.
Three cent right. Stamp.
Yeah, I used to go
for all those engines and these pots. Yeah. You can't they'll shoot your bag right off your hip.
Go down to the trade post because they had a postal store that was open 3 days a week and buy you penny blocks and use those for the.
Why we all talking like barbecue from G.I. Joe? No, yeah,
because everyone on the prairie talked like barbecue.
The Viper. The who's the Viper? The Viper's coming. The Viper Windows. Anyway, sorry, G.I. Joe reference. We better, you know what, Cole? We need to stay clear of G.I. Joe references because as we've learned.
You know what happened there.
And no one's half the battle.
Silent. I'll right. Be silent for all G.I. Joe references because I don't know anything about G.I. Joe.
Yeah. Same here.
Well, you know, the more you know, that knowing is half the battle.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Sure it is.
You don't know that because you don't know anything about G.I. Joe, so that jump fell flat.
I know. It's like, sure it is, I guess. But yeah, we still stayed in communication. We're still buddies and everything else, but life just went on. And then about 5 years ago, I really got into listening to podcasts. And I have, like, that's all I do now is I just listen to podcasts. And I had shows, like, once a week. Yeah. And I just came out of nowhere and I was like, Chris, we should do a show. And I don't know how Chris feels, but the reason why I wanted to do a show is because I felt like it would keep an accountability to our friendship. And
true.
I believe that it has. I think that our friendship is even stronger now than it was even when we were kids.
Similar thing happened with Eddie and I where we didn't know each other and we're at the same Star Wars event.
Right.
Just reference back to episode 3 of this podcast. Right. You'll get the story.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you can continue to from just like tell them like what our show is about and like what we do.
Oh wait, okay, if I can interrupt Chris before you get into that. Sure. Why did you, and we know why Caleb wanted to start the podcast. Why did you want to start it? Or were you just kind of like, oh, sure, whatever you want to do?
Yeah, like, that one.
That one. Okay. That was simple. Okay. Tell us about your show then.
I'm over here like, it was in my heart and soul to keep our friendship alive. And he's like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Like, he's like, we didn't have anything better to do that night, so why not?
But that's what makes the show great.
I thought I was going to get like this Hallmark moment from Chris over here. Like, nah.
No, I don't care. We just get together every week and just talk about comic crap and TV crap and
he's really crap. Selling
and everything.
Over here,
no, no.
No,
sell it.
We talk comics. We got, you know, we talk all nerd stuff. You know,
we got an original wordsmith over here.
Yeah,
yeah. They're a lot like us, Cole. They'll talk about anything. They even just the other week I was listening to one, and they went on and on about snow cones. And I was sitting there thinking, I never knew listening to two guys talk about snow cones could be so entertaining.
Well, the thing about it is the Holy Nerdy podcast is kind of deceiving because. I'm the type of guy, I like to do like a lot of quote unquote research. So I'll listen to like one episode of like some random podcast that I'll find on Twitter that has like 40,000 Twitter followers. And I'll just be like, hey, I'm going to listen to this show real quick and see what they're all about. And they're like a comics podcast, but they talk about like, well, today is Wednesday. This new issue of Batman came out and it's interesting because it's written by such and such. Oh. That's not what Chris and I do at all. Chris and I are like, just to give you an example, like the last episode, people can go to our we don't have a website, but people can go to our just find us on Twitter and everything. But we'll plug that in just a second. But they could go to the last episode, and we had like a 15-minute long segment about Matt Reeves directing the new Batman movie. But it wasn't about him directing Batman movie. It was about him being a whipping boy for DC.
Oh my God! Wow.
And how he looked like Travis Tritt. Got a haircut. And for those who don't know, Chris and I reference a lot of 90s stuff in our show. So Travis Tritt was like a really popular 90s country music star.
Yeah.
And so we did this whole bit about like Matt Reeves being whipped into making the DC Comics Batman movie in order for him to continue his actual passion, which is the Dawn of the Apes and the Planet of the Apes franchise. He can't touch those until he finishes Batman. So they're like whipping him with the chain and stuff, making him work. And he's like in his dressing room crying. And stuff.
Oh my gosh.
So that's what we are. That's what happens when you like dive into the rabbit hole of our show. It's like weird skits and weird bits. Like we also did another skit about how the Red Ranger is a psycho killer.
Red Ranger rum. Red Ranger rum.
Red rum Ranger.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Red rum Ranger sounds though like something you'd find in an Urban Dictionary.
That needs to be a T-shirt. Red rum Ranger. Because backwards, if only Ranger spelled backwards was Ranger, because it'd be Murder Ranger.
Because you make that as a T-shirt, then you can sell it to fund your podcast. There you go.
I know.
That's the way you do it, apparently.
We've been saying we're going to do that now for 3 years. We haven't done it yet.
And another thing with our show, too, I'll be like, go ahead, Chris, tell him something. And then Chris will start talking, and I'll just butt in and be like, and then this happened, and this. But that's been our friendship since we were kids. I've always been off the wall. I bounce in all directions. If you follow any kind of, like, personality test or anything like that, I'm what you call a sanguine. So I'm, like, all over the place. Chris is more like a melancholy or like a melancholy cleric where he's very focused but, like, easygoing at the same time. Anyways.
So you're Flubber, he's the Blob. You're all the place and he just sits there.
Yes, and he absorbs stuff.
Exactly. He absorbs and just grows stronger.
Yes. I need to be detained in a metal canister.
Can only be defeated by Steve McQueen.
Right. With a fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? So, well, thank you for joining us, because it's been a while since we've had guests on this show.
It was the last episode.
I couldn't help but take a stab.
Poor Jeff McGee of Marvin Dog Media. He's going to listen to this like, come on, Cole.
He's like, the hell?
Oh, my gosh.
I am in such a whirlwind right now with all con prep.
He's sitting in a dark room right now, and it's just like he's listening to the show off his phone, and then the lights go out, and he just goes to sleep. He don't care anymore.
It's all over.
He's like, fine, if that's how they feel, fine.
Yeah. And curtains.
Cutting out of this show, but... flashing back to Hey Kids Comics when we finally had a guest on that show.
Chris, did you tell them where to find the podcast? I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
Yeah. You can look for us on YouTube. I haven't updated it with the most recent one. If you search for us on Podbean, find us there. Caleb, you want to give the Twitter and all that?
Yeah, because you don't remember them.
I don't.
Obviously, you don't have a cheat sheet.
No.
But then you fit in just fine with our show, because neither do we.
Yeah, if you go to podbean.com/holynerdypodcast, that's where we host all of our shows off of. And then YouTube, we used to host them off YouTube, but YouTube's going to be more of like, we're going to start doing... we're going to start doing more videos, like probably unboxing videos, like what you guys do. I'm going to probably start doing some Lego review videos, because I love not even just Lego, but I love just bricks in general, like Creo, Lego, Mega Bloks, like all those different things.
I love Mega Bloks.
The new Mega Bloks stuff is phenomenal. But anyways.
The turtle stuff, I'm going crazy.
Oh my gosh, the
stuff.
Ninja Turtles Mega Bloks are sick. They're so good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The crane.
How about
like...
Lincoln Logs?
Oh my
the best
gosh.
Part is they're flammable.
Yeah, I was just
they
about to say.
Kindling.
Yeah, I think I used Lincoln Logs the other night to barbecue.
I know.
Really good smoking chips.
For smoking chips, Bob, boy, Lincoln Logs.
Lincoln Logs, you'd be amazed.
It's for that nostalgic flavor.
Yeah, this one smells like 80s closet.
Oh, wow.
This one just smells like defeat.
You can find us on Twitter. which is important right now because we're actually doing a contest on Twitter. We're giving away a Flash graphic novel, but it's at Holy Nerdy Pod. Instagram is at Holy Nerdy Pod. Facebook is facebook.com/Holy Nerdy Podcast. And you can email us, you can, or message us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. We're real active on all three, on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. So it's real easy to like get a hold of us, send us ideas, participate in our contest. We're going to be giving away some Funko Pops pretty soon. It's going to be, ooh, it's getting kind of crazy.
Some nice signed ones.
Yeah, yeah, some signed Funko Pops.
Like signed by y'all or signed by somebody else?
Wow. Who do you think they are, us?
Right?
I want to do that when we have like, when we break the 40 listener mark.
Yeah.
Hey, we're still aiming
like,
for that.
Famous now.
It's a climb, believe me. No, I think we're sitting right about 12 right now.
Well, Chris and I definitely have some behind the scenes stuff, but I mean, we could definitely collaborate with you guys and kind of give you guys our ideas that we have, because like I said, I study podcasts and I've been listening to different podcasts for 5 years, and I've almost got it down to like almost like a science, if you will, of how to gain list. This is more behind the scenes crap that I probably shouldn't even be talking about because people are going to be like, shut up, talk about Star Wars. I don't care about this crap. But anyways, that's how you can find us. And yeah, we just got a lot of stuff going on, man. It's real. Chris and I are having an absolute blast doing this. Like I said earlier, this is like an accountability thing for me anyways, for our friendship. It's helped me cope with the idea of just living in Florida, you know, away from, you know,
you got to cope with living in Florida. Is it that bad over there?
It's not bad over here, but when we decided to do the show, like when, people in Florida are like, well, forget you. Florida's great. I love Florida.
Yeah.
But Chris and I, I didn't offer Chris this opportunity until I moved here. And then after he said yes, and I was like, well, damn it, we could have been doing this while I was living out there.
In first grade,
I moved back to Texas for like 2 years. That's where I became friends with a lot of that's when I originally found you, Eddie, and that's when I found Thomas Clemens and a bunch of other guys out there. And the whole comic book, the indie comic scene in Texas is insane, man. So,
oh, yeah. Well, Texas is home of Staple, the Independent Media Expo in Austin.
Yes, exactly. That's right.
Finally announced their 2017 dates.
Are you guys familiar with Will Terrell?
Who lived
in Lubbock and then moved to California?
Yeah.
I met him and became really good friends with him. So I fell in love with the indie comic scene in Texas, but there's a really awesome – and Eddie, you even told me too that Dallas has an awesome indie podcast scene.
Oh, yeah.
And then Orlando, Central Florida, has a really sweet indie podcast scene out here, too. It's just crazy. Like, it reminds me of being a punk kid in the early 90s and early 2000s, or late 90s, early 2000s. Like, the punk scene, it's just cool how it all is kind of coming together. Like, underground stuff is even more popular now with social media. And, I mean, this is how we're together tonight because of the whole podcast scene, if you will. So it's just cool.
And especially since podcasting was something I sort of accidentally fell into. I had no idea what a podcast was, and I've got over 1,000 hours of podcasting under my belt, and I can't even believe it. So but we are going to talk a little bit about Eddie's Space Bigfoot.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, this is listeners and viewers are going to be familiar, but our guests may not. That Eddie, your first impression upon seeing Chewbacca in your youth back in the 70s?
Yeah, see, it was 1977, and of course I was 4 years old, and I was from an early age was obsessed with Bigfoot, with the Patterson film. And so when I first saw the trailer for Star Wars and when Chewbacca onto the screen, I immediately said, Space Bigfoot! I was like, oh my gosh, this movie has a Bigfoot in it, I'm all for it. And so I was so excited to like see Star Wars because I had to see this movie that actually had a Space Bigfoot. So long-time listeners know that that spawned into Space Yeti recently with Mara from Rogue One, and
we're just
gonna keep with every new movie we're gonna find a new space cryptid to add to our.
You can find zoo. Space Chupacabra in Episode 8, but we're fingers crossed.
You know, as you say that, Sebulba is kind of a space chupacabra in a way, I suppose.
Yeah,
kind of sort of.
Yeah, I guess.
We can
hey, Sebulba, can you come by? Oh, you're sucking the brains out of that guy over there.
Yeah,
I'll let you finish.
We're not as familiar with Chupacabra as Eddie is, who hosts Figments with his wife on the subject of cryptids and other unsolved mysteries and the like.
I need to listen to that because I've.
Like you do.
I'm really interested in that. So.
Yeah.
Moving into, once we got to see that Space Bigfoot was something more, I have a similar memory about, I was going on 12 when Star Wars came out, because I'm the old guy on the show, and I'm sort of like the old priest, and basically, I remember in the chess game sequence on the Falcon, and as funny as it would take finding a magazine where it actually had Chewbacca the Wookiee spelled out, I was pretty sure that C-3PO said, "Let the monkey win." And I thought he was being derogatory.
Man,
oh, let the monkey win. You little highbrow son of a...
Little did we know that C-3PO is racist underneath all that gold.
How's that for protocol?
Right. We should jump in quickly and say that friend of the show, Todd Carlton, who wrote the Star Wars Super Collector's Wish Book series of books, he admitted on our podcast that back in the day he misheard it and thought they were saying, instead of saying Chewie the Wookiee, they were saying Julie the Wookiee. And so for years,
thought it was Chico Marx talking to his brother Groucho, abbreviating his name Julius to Julie. Hey, Julie, right. What are we going to do in the movie?
Yeah, so it was not Julie. You're right. It wasn't Julie the Wookiee. It was
a monkey, for that matter.
Yeah, and it wasn't an orange Chulius. It was
I loved orange Chulius, but it was just all that big hairball at the bottom was.
Oh yeah, that was the worst. That was
sold it for me.
Okay, so since we're on the flashback machine, why don't you two guys tell us your first exposure? When was the first time you exposed yourselves to Star Wars, but not in a dirty way?
Yeah.
or if it wasn't a dirty way, go ahead and be honest.
It was a long trench coat and grown Chinese theater.
I was a child and it was on television and I opened my trench coat. It's like, here I am, Star Wars.
here's my lightsaber.
Yeah. Oh. My Schwartz is bigger than you.
Yeah. Honestly, man, like, I've got older cousins. I had a cousin that passed away about 8 years ago that was like really into, he introduced me to all sorts of stuff, Planet of the Apes, Night of the Living Dead, Star Wars, Star Trek. He introduced me to everything. Yeah. So, and my family, it's kind of like a Thanksgiving tradition that it's just on TV, like episodes, 4, 5, and 6 would just be on TV. They'd just be in the VCR just playing. So growing up, I would see snippets of it and see it here and there. And, I pretty much knew everything that was happening. But I never actually, sat down and said, oh, okay, this is Luke Skywalker and this is Darth Vader. I would just see Darth Vader and be like, oh, there he is, that guy in black. So cool. Yeah, then I would continue running.
There's the mama, there's the black guy. He's on TV again.
Yeah. And I would go run and play.
I'm scared.
It wasn't until I was until they did the actual the revamps and put them back in theater to kind of ramp people up for episodes 1, 2, and 3. So I was probably
for the special editions. Yes.
Yeah. Indeed. So I was probably maybe 11 or 12 when they re-released episode 4 in theaters and added all the bullcrap into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I went and saw it in theaters then with my cousins because they kind of were like, oh, here, this is a great opportunity for you to see it in the theaters. And I was like, okay, cool. And that was like my first sitting there watching it being like,
oh, yeah,
I didn't know the in-depthness of it at that point.
Right.
So that was like my first full-on sitting through it experience.
So the trailer for the special editions, it was very appropriate for your story, where it opens up with, for a whole generation, many viewers only experienced Star Wars like this, and you would see it on a TV screen.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the X-Wing comes out of the TV screen onto the movie, you know, full-on movie screen.
Yeah.
And it talks about now you have the chance to experience it on the big screen. That's very much your story.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And in fact, that's one of the fascinating things about this show, is to get to meet all different, you know, generations or different people who were exposed to Star Wars at different times and periods and how it was available.
Yeah, our station manager, Jedi Jansen, our Jedi Holocron at the live show, he was introduced to Star Wars because of the prequels. And he saw the prequels and loved them so much, it caused him to check out everything Star Wars, and then he wanted to know so much more about these characters. He just went full on into the whole expanded universe and read every book he could get his hands on, so... Yeah, everyone gets introduced. You can make prequel jokes all you want, but if the prequels at anything else, it introduced a whole flood of new fans to the Star Wars universe.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And also, let's get the other the other half of the story.
Chris.
It's very similar to Caleb's, except I didn't even know what Star Wars was until I was like 12. I was over at a friend's house, and he had tons of Star Wars stuff. He had this big, huge Ewok like playset. Like, it had
The village
logs.
The
logs and the boulders and stuff like that.
Yeah, also known as Sherwood Forest.
Yeah,
it was re-released later as Sherwood Forest for the Robin Hood movie.
Oh, nice. Really?
So freaky. Yeah.
To tie this in real quick, not to cut Chris off, but this is a mutual friend of ours. This kid actually went off to create music for, I believe it was I believe it was Star Wars Online, the Galaxy Online game.
Oh yeah, like,
wow, nice.
He made like the sound effects and the music from it. And when they fired all those guys, they were actually like had like a big dinner, and George Lucas was there and like individually fired each one of them.
You're kidding!
You get a pink slip.
Yeah,
get a pink.
Waved it and tapped him on the forehead like it's a wand, and said, "Here you go, here you go, here you go."
Here's
okay. Is there any way we can get your friend on this show?
I don't know. I don't want to throw his name out there and put him on blast, but this is when he worked for LucasArts. LucasArts went belly up and got fired. Like, they had like this big dinner. They were celebrating this game release, and then all of a sudden it's like, "Oh, by the way, you're fired."
You know, if you have to get fired, what better way to get fired than to have dinner with George Lucas and have him do it himself?
And, you know,
that's how I want to get fired.
Yeah, but anyways, but this is the same friend. Like, so this kid, I mean, imagine that though, man. This guy had all this stuff, and he, you know, because we were all friends together, and he would grow up to do that. You know, that's kind of cool.
But back to the story. The first time that I actually saw the Star Wars movies is I went to Hastings, which is like our Blockbuster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, back in the time. Oh, okay. Okay.
What the hell is Blockbuster?
I don't know what you're talking about. We had Video Vacation here. So.
Wow.
But I saw the special editions, you know, like the VHSs that were in the like gold sleeve.
I have those.
And I was like, oh, so this is the thing that, you know, my friend has all the toys for. You know, let me check it out. So I went and bought, you know, the big thing that had all three movies in it. And I sat there and binged it in like one day.
Nice.
This is amazing.
That's, you know, that to experience it that way for the first time is amazing. I don't think we've ever had, Cole, anybody on the show who actually their first exposure was binge watching all three movies in one day.
Yeah, especially like that.
I think that's a first for us.
I couldn't get enough. And probably for like the next like 2 months, you know, I would, you know, watch those things over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
I think I broke my Empire Strikes Back one. You just, you know, watched it so many times.
Oh, I can imagine.
VCR ate it.
Yeah, I was like, no. Oh, God.
I have a similar story where my commando tape broke because I kept rewinding the Alyssa Milano parts over and over.
Yeah, I think that a lot of VHS tapes, there were certain points that got worn out. Especially if it was a rental.
Yeah. I wore out my Basic Instinct VHS.
Oh.
Yeah, that would explain the copy of Splash that I rented that time.
So, you know, that's where you say thank God for the digital age.
Oh yeah.
Now I have it saved on my phone. I'm watching that scene from Basic Instinct.
Exactly.
Right.
Because of the digital copies floating around everywhere, now we can have Daryl Hannah's HD ass whenever we want.
Yeah, right.
I hope there's a 13-year-old kid listening right now. He's like, Basic Instinct. I gotta look.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
gotta check this out.
Hey, Cole.
What is this old people movie you're talking about?
Yeah. Right.
And hey, he Cole, finally watches it. And he's like, that's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
There's nothing special about this. I've seen this 100 times.
So on the since Chewbacca was everybody's first Wookiee, depending on where you jumped onto Star Wars. You know, certainly the first Wookiee anybody ever got to see. Uh-huh. Impressions on, not impressions of, mind you, we did that before. Impressions on Chewbacca as far as, you know, guy in a suit aliens go.
Hmm.
I mean, mine's an unpopular opinion. I'm a fan of Chewbacca, but there's just something about him that I don't gravitate towards Chewbacca. And I'm not like, even when I saw episode seven, when I saw episode seven, I saw Chewbacca on screen. I'm like, oh, there he is. But when I saw Han Solo, I was like, oh, there he is. You know what I mean? Like,
now when Chewbacca went into like full on Wookiee rage at the end of that movie, you weren't like, oh yeah.
Well, I was happy. It made sense. But then when Leia embraced Rey, I wanted to puke in my shoes because I was like,
Why isn't she?
He should be hugging the Wookiee, damn it.
Again.
The Wookiee doesn't get a medal. He doesn't get a hug.
Yeah, exactly.
It's nothing.
Alderaanians are racist against Wookiees. No wonder 3PO called him the monkey.
Yeah. Right.
Oh my gosh! It makes perfect sense now.
It does. You know what? You're absolutely right, because my animosity towards Chewbacca is not my fault. It's those movies' fault for not actually putting him on the pedestal that it needs to be. Wookiee's lives matter.
Oh my! That's a new hashtag. Hashtag Wookiee lives matter.
Y'all need to make that a shirt. Sell that shirt. Hashtag Wookiee's lives matter.
Hey, you came up with it. You come up with the shirt. As for your show.
There was also that meme where it was it Rebel Awards, Rebel Medal Ceremonies be so human.
Like Oscars are so white.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't get a medal.
That's
he
right.
didn't get nothing.
He didn't get nothing.
If you're not some human, you don't get Jack in this universe. So why even bother?
No,
it's
I mean,
they didn't even give him a bag of Scooby Snacks or anything.
No, he's a cool character. He is a cool character, but at the same time, I do want to see more of him. And I guess we'll get into this a little bit later, but that's kind of where I stand right now. And it kind of has something to do with the young Han Solo movie as well, because of the promo image they put out.
Yeah,
that's sweet.
It is, but I have some feelings towards that. I mean, we can get into it right now if you want me to. Tell you what I think.
Absolutely, because I mean that's technically a Wookiee topic, because everybody else gets to wear their civvies.
Yeah,
and the guy playing Chewbacca had to suit up.
Yeah, and that leaves
there's a guy in that suit.
Yeah.
But he's not real.
Come on now.
It's not Peter Mayhew.
I thought it was Bigfoot.
It's Harry.
In the Bigfoot world, Harry from Harry and the Hendersons is the black sheep, so we don't talk about him.
Yeah.
John, somewhere John Lithgow is rolling a tear right now.
Every time that someone mentions Harry the Hendersons, a tear falls from John Lithgow's eyes.
Yes.
Same thing with Buckaroo Banzai, apparently.
Yeah.
Hey.
I'm worried that the young Han Solo movie is, like, I want him to meet Chewbacca in this movie. I do not want Chewbacca to already be with Han Solo, if that makes sense.
No, it does. It does. It really depends on what approach you take, because I'd hate for it to be like, here's Han Solo flying through space. Han Solo meets Lando Calrissian. Han and Lando meet Chewbacca. Han, Lando, and Chewbacca meet Boba Fett. You know, I just don't want it to be like, let's drive around the galaxy and pick up people we know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also
Dr. Seuss book.
Well, because Chewbacca's in Rebels. He's in Star Wars Rebels, I believe. And,
yeah, he is.
And
yeah,
he's young. He's like a teenager, like 13 at the most. And
which doesn't work because he's like
400.
You know what I mean. Like, he's basically like a child in Rebels. And I wanted to, if anything, I didn't want to see a full grown Chewbacca in the Han Solo movie. I wanted to see like a little Chewbacca running around. But that's just me. I don't know. Like,
Chewbacca's in Rebels.
Yeah, he's in Rebels.
Okay, he's in Clone Wars, but in Clone Wars he doesn't come across as being young. He just comes across as being Chewbacca.
I'm actually getting that confused. I think he's in Clone Wars, not Rebels. Is he in Rebels, Chris?
I don't think they've shown him in Rebels. They've shown other Wookiees in Rebels.
Yeah,
but not,
the problem is that by the time of A New Hope, Chewbacca was like 300 and something.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no meeting a young Chewbacca if you're a young Han.
Well, that makes sense. Okay. Well, see, I didn't know that.
See, if you're not careful, you might learn something.
Chewbacca's life must have been really boring for him to latch onto Han Solo and follow him around.
Well, if you've seen the Star Wars Holiday Special, you know exactly how boring his life was. Han Solo.
I had never seen that until 2 days ago, and I watched it.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
I know.
Let's get into that. You liked it?
I like it too
in a strange sort of way.
Yeah, and what I think the main part of it was that I got to see new footage of the old cast.
Yes,
it was something new.
Plus you got to see Mark Hamill in the like the Tammy Faye Baker mascara.
I was like, why does he look really like effeminate, you know?
You know why? Because he had just come off of that bad car wreck where he messed up his face, so they were putting on the heavy makeup to help cover the scars.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, I'm pretty sure that's why he also has that wig. Don't you feel bad?
He survived a post-Corvette summer wreck.
Yeah. No, it's cool because Cole and I were actually guests of another podcast where we talked extensively about the holiday special for like 2.5 hours on the show.
Oh, wow, yes.
And on that show, I made the comment that in the holiday special, Luke Skywalker is actually cosplaying as a Luke Skywalker action figure in that scene.
Oh, that explains everything. Right down to the yellow lightsaber.
Right. Because, he is kind of creepy looking in the holiday special.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is, I got very steeped in Star Wars. By the time I was 12, there was plenty of material to find. And that was what was really fascinating about Chewbacca, was the sort of backstory reveals before there was an expanded universe that, at least I guess on paper, he was intended to be something on the order of nearly 400 years old.
Gotcha.
So he's like this old dude, and he's like, at 400, he's like, what else am I going to do? Go greet at Walmart?
Right.
Sure, I'll go hang out with Han Solo. That's far more exciting.
Yeah.
But you're right. With the young Han Solo movie, I would like to see some of the dynamic of how they met. I think that would be fun.
Didn't Han Solo save his life or something? So like he owes him some kind of debt.
Yeah,
or
there was
something.
Like some kind of Last of the Mohicans life debt or something like
that.
I'm hoping we see why he has a life debt to Han in the movie. That's my one thing. I want to see that. And I don't want to see a whole lot of Woody Harrelson.
I think what they're doing is Woody Harrelson's being groomed to turn out to be revealed as Snoke.
Oh. Oh yeah, is that the new rumor now?
Yeah, because that's the one I'm going to spread. We're actually going to do a thing on a live show later in the year called Great American Snokeout.
The
Snoke rumors.
Just coming up with a bunch of bogus Snoke rumors.
I want to start a bunch of my own, like,
and we want to see how many catch on.
Exactly.
Well, you might as well say that he's a shaved Chewbacca then, this point.
Oh, it could be, you know.
And the life, see what's going to happen, the life debt that Chewbacca owes to Han Solo is going to have like this wicked crazy scar going across his forehead, and then we're going to be able to link that to Snoke, and people are going to be like, oh my god, you guys are right. Oh my god, when I heard the Tarkin of Snoke, I'm like, come on, people.
So what did he get to his escape pod in the 1/100th of a second he had?
Right.
Between looking like, grimly at the doomed rebel base, and then all of a sudden being reduced to his constituent atoms.
I think people are getting Star Wars confused with Star Trek at that point, because I think he got beamed out or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, the holiday special, since we're talking Wookiees, you know what, Cole? We never said the name of this episode.
Well, we did, because we talked about it before the show, and then we're just sort of
thought we did, because I made the John Cena Wookiee
wrestling. Oh, yeah, we did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is
WWOW, the Wookiee World of...
The wonderful world of Wookiees.
There it is.
Since we're talking Wookiees, and Chris has brought us to the holiday special, let's go ahead and talk about Chewbacca's family.
That
wonderful bunch of Wookiees, I guess.
Yeah, depending on your disposition, they're either apocryphal or canon. I think a lot of people are kind of glad that Disney came in and erased the former canon.
No. But according to Disney's rules, the holiday special is canon, because they said anything that's been on screen is still canon.
Oh, so they're including the small screen then?
Because of Clone Wars at the point.
Oh, okay. So you got grandfathered in.
Yeah.
Or
exactly.
In this case, itchied in.
Itchied in, yeah.
Yeah.
I had seen that in that Star Wars Aftermath Empire's End book that came out. They actually show Lumpy. Lump-a-Wurump or something.
Yeah.
Whatever.
There you go. Bonus points for you for knowing the full name.
Yeah.
What's fascinating about that is you would imagine that Lump-a-Wurump came out of this sort of name inflation that arrived after like collectible card games and the expanded universe continued to expand. But actually, back when the show was first aired, I read an article about Chewbacca's family, and it did actually articulate all of their names out. In fact, in the script, Itchy is actually
Atichitik or something.
Atichitik, yeah, something like that was his Navajo name. Yeah. And
gosh.
Now we lost.
My gosh.
And and the actual name in the script was Lamorarump, which later became Lumparump. And on Urban Dictionary, Lumparumparumparumpa.
I've said it before.
Ranker after dark.
Yeah.
Right. It's funny about his family. I think I've said this, Cole, before, either to you in private or on a podcast. I get confused nowadays because there's been so many.
Exactly.
But when you think about, the names of Chewbacca's family members, Chewy, Itchy, Lumpy, these are all things I use to describe my... Never mind.
This little Wookiee.
It almost sounds like there needs to be some sleeping girl and waiting for a prince to come wake her up with the names of all of his siblings. He always misses like Sleepy, Dopey, Doc.
Right. Itchy, Lumpy. Yeah, there were the two dwarves they don't talk about. There were actually nine dwarves.
There was Krabby, of course, who went to the brothels a lot.
Smokey, who smelled like cigarettes.
Yeah.
Right. And of course, no one can forget Horny. Because...
Yeah, it was the one that played the trumpet.
Yeah.
Right. He played the trumpet.
What are you
thinking of?
Musician.
Oh oh my gosh, these guys have dirty minds.
No. Just, you made it weird.
it got weird, didn't it?
But yeah, it's his family. Oh my gosh, talk about dysfunctional. You got Grandpa, who one moment is pleased as pie watching his dying Carol, whoever it was, on the little hologram thing. The next, he's like losing his, you know what, because the kid, I can't remember which one is which. Lumpy. Is Lumpy the kid?
Lumpy's the kid.
Okay, so Lumpy comes with bugging him, and like Itchy just like loses it and practically like bitch slaps Lumpy across the room. He's like, he's got like Tourette's or something. I don't know. It's like,
well, he's just like, you know, he goes into these moon swings. It's like, you know.
Yeah, he's so moody. He should be moody, not itchy.
Well, he's like, ah, and then the translation was, "I only hit because I love."
Oh my gosh.
Another transition is, "Look what you made me do."
Again.
Why do you make me love you this way?
Oh, wow.
Another translation is, "Why can't you play football?"
Meanwhile,
like your dad.
Lumpy dreams of the day when he turns 100 and can finally leave the house.
100? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
There's a lot of abuse in between now and then.
Well, it's not abuse, okay? 100 years ago is a different time. It's a different time.
Oh, wow. It was just back then.
Things didn't get, you know, under control until they elected Trump Baca to office. You know,
after Orange Wookiee, right?
Right, that was the Orange Wookiee.
With a comb over.
Right. After Trump Baca came into power, then everything kind of settled down. He got things under control. You know, it was cool after that.
He made his cheek great again.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. What the
okay,
heck, dude?
Okay, it's going to be unbelievable, okay? We're going to put up a wall. We're going to put up a wall, okay? We're going to make IG-88 pay for it, okay?
Do you know how many trees are going to have to cut down to make that wall?
It's going to be unbelievable, okay? We're going to have lots of trees. Big old trees.
Why does Trump Baca sound like he should be on RuPaul's Drag Race?
I wish I could do an impersonation of Trump Baca with doing the traditional Wookiee yell, but it'd be too hard.
Yeah, right.
You might hurt yourself.
It might just be too obscene even for this show.
Yeah.
So, it's a little wonder that Itchy's the way he is, because he's stuck at home with his daughter-in-law.
Uh-huh.
And that brat grandson of his,
mm-hmm.
with this whole parade of either Imperials or do-gooder humans who probably get all kinds of medals and awards and stuff that no Wookiee will ever be given. I mean, look at Art Carney comes in with his sack full of Emmys and Oscars.
Yeah. And nobody can stand Art Carney's sack. That's like the most deplorable thing. Art Carney, keep your sack away from us.
That's right. What's in Art's sack? Come on, Molly.
I think his sack is a little itchy and a little lumpy.
Oh, yes. I give the man a break. He was like 70.
Yeah, at that point, he had a case of the mollas.
Oh. Not only did he have a case of the Mollas, he had the full technical name, which was it Molotobic?
Yeah.
Cole, did you...
Molotobic once.
Speaking of Mala, Cole, you brought up one time in a conversation about the Mala eyes.
Yeah.
The awkward Mala, what was that about?
They actually, somebody pulled this on Harrison Ford one time, where they played it on, like, Letterman or something, much to his chagrin. But there is the shot, especially having seen it recently, where Han and Chewie finally arrive. And, of course, Mala's happy to see her husband, but, man, she wants a piece of Han Solo, let me tell you.
Yeah.
So she'd go Carillion.
Yeah, I thought that was weird that she was pining over Chewie the entire movie, and then he shows up, and
oh, yeah.
She doesn't even make a move towards him. She just kind of stands off to the side and...
Yeah, like, oh, here's my husband. And then Han's like, hi, Mala. And then she's like, they go to that, like, Vaseline lens.
Yeah.
And she's dropping so many Wookiee eggs, it sounds like the set of Captain Kangaroo with the ping pong balls drop.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
It really makes you wonder about the lineage of Lumpy. Half-breed! That's all I have heard! No wonder she hates him so much.
Yeah.
He knows the truth. I know who your father is. So, that just made the holiday special even worse.
Yeah.
There's a whole nother beast in the holiday special that we've already done two shows on the holiday special. I think in another year or so, it's probably going to be high time we revisit it again at some point, just trash it yet one more time.
You should do a like a commentary track, so like you have your audience. You tell them when you're starting it, so you're like, we're starting it and now. And then you guys just start riffing on it so they can watch it with you and listen to your show at the same time.
The only problem with that is there's different bootleg versions with different commercials. You may get to a point where people are off on it.
Yeah, you'll have to do the YouTube one and tell people like, hey, we're doing the YouTube one, you know, here's the link whatever.
Oh, we should link it to our own YouTube channel. That might get us some hits.
There you go.
It might actually get us more than 3 subscribers. Oh my gosh. Okay, so any more on Chewie's family, or should we just move on?
I think we should move on to the dark side of Kashyyyk.
Yeah.
Who's this Lobaka character? Does anybody know anything about Lobaka?
That's his cousin.
That's his nephew.
That's right. Okay, because I knew back in the day.
I'd forgotten the name sounded familiar, but it's familiar now. Lobaka.
Nephew that's force sensitive. This is the first force sensitive.
Okay, that's what I do remember.
In like 1,000 years or some crap.
Yeah,
even their lifespan is 1,000 years for a Wookiee. That's 20 years to you and me.
Yeah, I know. It's oh, here comes another one. He's quote unquote force sensitive. My God.
Somebody call Itchy to kick his ass.
Keep it in church, Lobaka. Come on, man.
Oh, my God. What?
I'm going to shove Jediism down our throats.
We know all about it. My goodness. He's out there. So he's out there.
Lobaka is basically the.
He's like, pulls out a little book and he's like, "Have you heard about the High Tower of the Jedi?" They're like, "Jeez, get a rest, man."
So Lobaka is the Jehovah's Witnesses of the Star Wars universe.
Of the Jedi. He's the Jedi Witness. Here he comes with his Jedi-ness again.
Oh my God.
Talking about the Force and everything else. Can't we just cut these trees down and go get a beer? My goodness.
And was Lobaka, it seemed like every image, now that you brought it up, I got curious. Now I remember seeing like every single image I ever saw of Lobaka. It looks like he's like been to the vet for a summer cut.
Yes.
You know, like, did he have like a flea problem?
He's like a 7-foot shih tzu or something.
Yeah. Like he had like Wookiee mange or something. They had to, it's growing back, you know?
Right.
I know, he's like so curly. That's what I remember of the character. He's like, he's so curly. He's like, what's going on? Get some Prel or something.
Get a Wookiee perm. Yeah. Just want to try it out. Just a different look. You know?
Yeah, it was basically like, it looked like he had been like running through the woods and had a bunch of twigs and crap like stuck in him. Wait, come back! You need to hear about the Force! And everybody's running from it.
Quick, everyone, into the cucklebirds!
Yeah. Run from it! He's like, one of the younger Wookiees falls to the ground and they're like, you can't save him! Keep running!
He belongs to the Force now!
So, the one Wookiee that jumped into the cucklebirds, when he emerges, does he now become Cucklebaka?
Oh.
He's just covered in those little burrs, and he can't get them out of his fur.
The bootleg Chewbacca figure I have that was like some kind of Mexican knockoff figure that I dubbed Crunchbaka.
Crunchbaka.
So, and actually, though, the holiday special, just going back to that briefly, there actually was a plan to make action figures based on
the Yes. Hmm. Listeners have to Google the prototypes for these figures. They're insane.
Oh, that would have been cool. That would have redeemed the
holiday. I know. I wanted those so bad. It was ridiculous.
That's about the only thing that managed to come out of the holiday special intact was Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Everything else is just like Lucas wanted. And for years, you know, the rumor was that Lucas was a holiday special denier.
Mm-hmm. He was. He really was, though.
And,
he was quoted as saying that he wants to track down every copy of the holiday special and smash it with the hammer.
Oh, exactly. And then he.
There's a lot of things that George Lucas needs to smash the hammer.
True.
Christensen's
acting is one of them that needs to smash the hammer.
But like, there was little to no evidence of the holiday special prior to the internet. Except for this gigantic book called The Star Wars Chronicle that was put out by a Japanese publisher and in an English version. And that was really the only place where I'd ever seen a very comprehensive look at Star Wars up to that point, which was pre-prequels. I think it was right about the time of the special editions. And they actually had a whole chapter on the holiday special. I was like, ah, suck it, Lucas.
You can't run from this. It's forever here. It's in the cloud now. You really can't get rid of it.
There's no escape. So
literally, it's in Cloud City.
Yeah.
Anyway.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. So,
Chris, you really missed a mark when we did our Christmas episode because we could have talked about the holiday special.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if this is true, but I've heard rumor that Christmas comes around every year.
Yeah.
I've heard of that.
You could probably just plan on this coming here to do it.
Unlike Droid Christmas, which is apparently twice a year.
That's if Chris and I don't decide to burn this whole thing down to the ground. Yeah. We're like, wipe our hands clean of the podcast. And like, well, that was nice.
Well, that was fun.
In our lives.
Well, you know, things just went downhill after we appeared on the Rancor. You know?
After Caleb got a divorce and started driving his motorcycle across the country, things really got down.
Yeah.
He got real fat.
Some other way to stay friends.
Started drinking heavily, riding his motorcycle.
I mean, look what happened. That's what happens to our guests on this show. Look what happened to Jeff McGee from the last episode. Now he's sitting in the dark, apparently.
Who knows? In 2 weeks, I'll have forgotten this ever happened either.
Yeah.
I know. I'll be listening and be like,
oh.
And you'll only wish you could forget it ever happened.
No, I'm having fun, man. It's great.
Like, you lucky bastard. You forgot it. So
we need to have you guys on our show.
Hell yeah.
Really? After the experience you've had thus far, you still want us on your show?
Heck yeah. Because then you guys can curse crazy.
Yeah. Oh, curse crazy.
You have a license curse crazy. To ill, if you will.
So basically, when we move out of the original...
I like that curse crazy.
Yeah.
Going from the original trilogy, though, where you have one Wookiee... Then you get the Lucas dream, because the Ewoks were literally born out of an original concept from a hope to have a big land battle with all a bunch of Wookiees that we had to wait another decade or more for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we got this.
Go ahead. I don't mean to cut you off, Cole, but this kind of ties in with my mixed feelings that I have about Chewbacca, because there for like a long time Chewbacca was like an anomaly, unless you were unless you're reading books and stuff and you were learning about his history and how old he was and the actual lore of Kashyyyk and all this kind of stuff. I didn't read any of that stuff, so Chewbacca to me was someone who just hung out with Han Solo, and for all I knew he was the only Wookiee in the entire galaxy.
That's a good point, though, because I mean literally absent the handful of things I read back in the day, Unless you stumbled upon those or actively sought them out, you really wouldn't have known the background stories.
Right. So when you see all these Wookiees on screen, when you go watch, you know, episode 3, it kind of like took that mystery feeling of Chewbacca away from me, and that he just became like another, like a freaking stormtrooper at that point. And I was just like,
yeah.
What do you mean, right? You couldn't hit anything or what?
Well, okay, maybe, because he can't do that. Well, he made up for that in episode 7, but
you're right.
But
I hate to break it to y'all, but there were more than just Chewbacca, you know, Wookiee wise in the original trilogy.
Did we ever?
It wasn't
see...
just him.
Did we see?
Yeah, there were plenty of Wookiees present in the original trilogy, but much like Earth Bigfoot, Space Bigfoot is really good at hiding,
yes.
So you never get to see him. So they're there, they're just hiding so well that you don't realize that they're there.
There were at least three on the Death Star.
Yeah.
In the elevator scene.
If you look really close,
and one of them was hiding behind the thing where Ben goes to turn off the tractor beam. As Ben was moving around one side, it was moving around the other.
They're actually on their own mission, and they're like, "Oh,
right."
if you
look really, really closely in the trash compactor scene, you can see the eye glare of one hiding in the debris.
I'd love to make a whole documentary based on like the idea that
right exactly
throughout all the movies, and they're like so.
We could call it Finding Chewbacca. but see, Chewbacca was in fact, like you're saying, Caleb, an anomaly, because like these other space Bigfoots, they were good at hiding. You know, Chewbacca was like the Down syndrome Wookiee.
Oh.
He didn't know.
Down syndrome Wookiee. That just suddenly diminished the worst things I've ever said on any.
I don't like those holy nerdy podcast people. They make Eddie mean. They turn Eddie into a bastard.
He used to be a good boy.
Their influence. We don't like their influence on him.
Yeah, I'm blaming better guests.
Hey, I'm standing by Down syndrome Wookiee.
Oh,
I'm just saying he was okay. Let's say special needs Wookiee.
Andrew Grant.
He just didn't have the same, you know. Well, I'll forget it. Never mind. I'm gonna forget it.
It's been built up too much now.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but in fact, I have a different complaint myself about the episode 3 Wookiees, because, you know, I kind of half expect there's plenty more Wookiees like any other species. But when we finally get to see the Wookiees en masse, the makeup department on episode 3 apparently missed out grossly on what made Chewbacca so cool. Is you get little hints that he's incredibly strong.
Right.
Yeah.
But Peter Mayhew is, or, you know, especially back in the 70s, 80s, was like really gaunt, because even with all the suit and the fur and everything, his arms are real scrawny.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought that's one of the things that's so cool about Chewbacca is the idea of, like, you know, there are animals that will, you know, could knock your block clean off, but you know, their arms about as big around as a pencil or something.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same concept of the ant. You would not think the ant can lift what it can. You know, you're the expert, Cole. How many times its own weight can it lift?
One.
Oh, never mind. Like somebody Google it.
30 times.
Anyway, it can lift a lot.
Yeah, I think
let's just say one ant can lift up 50 other ants. We'll just say that. But yeah, they have like scrawny little legs.
Nobody's
it's that same concept.
Check. We're gonna get like entomologists writing in. Will you?
Oh, I know. It's like I'm unsubscribing to you because
excuse me, sir, but the actual ant can lift about 30 times its own weight, and I'm not gonna listen to your show anymore.
I was gonna subscribe to your feed and be number 7 on your list, but.
I was going to buy the Wookiee Lives Matter shirt, but I decided not to.
Oh, well, yeah, that's right. I instead spent my money on the Ant Lives Matter.
Yeah. Black Ant Lives Matter.
Oh, wow.
Why does
red
that
ants
black?
And fire ants kill.
Right. Why does that have to be black ants?
Yeah. What about the red ants? All ant lives matter. Come on.
Oh, wow. Especially those honey ants that get the big abdomen full of honey.
Yeah. The carpenter ant.
They got much junk in the trunk. Right.
The Bengali ants with the giant pincers. Now we've it's the wonderful world of ants here on the right.
I'm sure there's an ant podcast out there.
Well, this is. It just started. It's the Ant Core Pit.
Yeah.
Oh. Well done. Well done.
Cole, do you have kids?
Hey, no, but I.
Oh, I was going to say, that's a dad joke right there. You got dad joke of the year.
I can't afford kids. They eat into my toy budget.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You ain't joking.
Wow.
I look like
I just came across like a really selfish bastard there.
Well, that's okay. When I take my kids out, I'm wearing like bum clothes, and they got good clothes on. They're all like, "Look at this bum babysitting these kids."
Yeah. Are you goodness? Or have you been kidnapped? Have you been abducted?
Are y'all? You need help? Wink twice if you need help.
Wink twice. Ow.
You sound like this has happened more than once to you.
It's probably.
Hey, we're actually getting pretty close to the end of the show. But,
oh my gosh, are you
serious?
Yeah.
Right, I know that happens every time.
We like us some Wookiees here.
We can go along. We'll just have to take a break once and get the recording all set up again. But before we run out of time, I wanted to bring up a problem I've always had with Chewbacca, and I wanted to kind of get y'all's feedback and see if we can bounce some, you know, help me find some closure on this matter.
Sure. Yeah.
It's always bugged me because Chewbacca is a sentient being, correct? He's not like some wild animal. He's a living, thinking. He can fly the Falcon. He can fire a gun. He's not just some creature, some animal. Mm-hmm. So he's sentient, correct?
Yeah, he's not like a chimpanzee that got a hold of a Mauser or something.
Right, exactly. It's always bugged me in Return of the Jedi when they come across the hanging red meat.
Yes.
How he just loses all of his brain and just attacks it like he's just like some rabid pit bull.
Like his feral instincts come out, and he's just like, red bloody meat, I need it now.
I think, though, to the Wookiee, whatever the hell that was, like really gamey meat that's been like hanging out curing for a couple of days, it would be like if, I don't know, you came across like, oh, look, so I put a pulled pork sandwich on a
pork
tree
chop sandwiches.
pork chop sandwich in the woods, and you just run over and start eating.
I don't care how hungry it was. If I came across a perfectly made pork chop sandwich in the middle of the woods, I'm not eating that because somebody is around close by.
Because next thing you know, you're waking up in a bathtub with no kidneys.
Exactly. Like, I'm starving right now. Why is there a perfectly made pork chop sandwich in the middle of the
woods? It turns out it was long pork sandwich, and you're the next victim.
Exactly. Maybe Han has Chewbacca like on a strict like vegetarian diet, and that was the shit.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a vegetarian. Yeah.
You're gonna live the vegan life if you want to or not.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
Lobaka is all about spreading the word of the Force. Chewbacca is all about like vegetarianism. They're kind of weird, you know.
Actually, it's one of those dynamics where it's like, well, my co-pilot's a vegetarian, so that pretty much makes me a vegetarian.
like a married couple.
I'm gonna get this.
I sure do love a tasty hunk of dead meat.
Yeah.
My take is a little different. Right. Yeah. How long has it been hanging there? Space flies all over it.
Now, this is off topic, but it goes kind of along. But okay, at the end of Return of the Jedi, the Ewoks are banging on Stormtroopers' helmets like drums. And what we learned previously in that movie is they have Han Solo and them hog tied up you know, on sticks. Ewoks eat people.
We have talked about this on the show.
Okay. I haven't heard that episode yet because I've been backtracking on the episode, so I'm sure when I come across it, I'll laugh my ass off.
But I don't know where it's at, but I think it might be in our Ewok episode.
I'm pretty sure.
They eat people.
I'm pretty sure that once the pyre, the Darth Vader funeral pyre settle down a bit.
Oh, they ate his corpse.
they ate the good parts there in the middle.
Look at that Barry Vader. How do you think they got his helmet back? Because they had to wrestle it out of some Ewok child's head because he was using it as a pacifier.
Being used as a bedpan.
Yeah, they're boiling people's feet in his helmet.
That's why Kylo Ren had to keep it on a big pile of kitty litter.
Because it stunk.
Had to put some fresh step down just to take the upper off.
Anyway, here's a quick. Do you think Chewbacca would eat Han Solo if he found out that Han Solo was dead in the living room?
Yes.
Would he be like a cat? Just start eating his dead body.
Yes. Absolutely, that's right. You would.
I'm so upset when Kylo Ren killed Han because the lot of good meat just went to waste.
It's like, no!
Like, what, you went and bought the 2-pound pack of bologna and then threw it into the Grand Canyon? What's wrong with you?
So, like, I read a thing online that cats will eat their owner, like, right away. Like, the owner will be dead for, like, 30 minutes and the cats are already eating it. The dog will wait, like, 7 days laying next to its owner, crying and stuff like that. How long do you think Chewbacca would wait? He's a sentient being. He knows that Han Solo's dead. So how long would he take before he started biting into Han Solo's dead?
As long as it takes him to climb down that long-ass ladder to get to his body.
See, I mean, climbing up that ladder, he put on a powerful hunger that only a dead Han, that only hands can satisfy.
This is for making me vegetarian for the last 30 years.
That's right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Beach back on the menu.
I'm sick of your blue milk, Han.
I don't think it's anything else, but it's part of the whole life-debt thing. Like, part of the life-debt is once that person is dead, you have to eat them. You have to consume them. By consuming them, you can carry on their life in you type of
and
thing.
Yeah, later, there's no...
I would absolutely lose my S in the movie theater if it opens up and Chewbacca's like eating a sandwich. Because I would be like, it's Han Solo! It's a Han sandwich!
Exactly!
It's a Han sandwich!
Yeah. And then Leia's like,
I will lose my S, man.
There'll always be a little bit of Han inside of Chewie. Yes. At least right out.
And then there'll be a little bit of Han in the woods with smeared into a leaf stack, a pine cone stack.
Oh my gosh.
Circle of poo.
Dude, Chewbacca's got a stink also because his whole body, even his hands are furry. How does he wipe himself? He's got
very carefully.
Those animated bears used on the commercials, Charmin or something.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently that's what wild animals use.
Hey, getting back to the raw meat thing, I got to say, I kind of have a different take, similar to yours, Cole, but a little different. I think on Kashyyyk, red raw meat or red meat, whatever, is illegal. It's like a
rare substance. Yeah.
And Chewbacca is just... A junkie.
So it's like me, if I came across a big pile of cocaine in the middle of the woods, I'd be like,
right. It's like he would just do a Scarface and just dip his whole face in it, just like Al Pacino style. Yeah. Like, he would be motorboating that red meat so badly, they'd be giving Return of the Jedi an X rating. Yeah. Motorboating of the Jedi.
He's like, but yeah. No, later on, he's like high as hell, like.
Right.
Like, so, what's wrong with you?
he was a junkie needing a fix, and he saw that red meat, and went to town. Oh, yeah. And he was like, I don't care. Screw y'all. Screw the life debt. I'm getting that.
Right. Where did Chewbacca go? He's like sitting on the toilet eating a little bit of red meat, like with the window open.
The shower on.
Oh, you've been in there for a long time.
Right. With the shower on. Oh my gosh, with the shower on.
You've been in there for a long time.
Like, what are you doing? Mala's banging on the door. What are you doing in there?
Are you motorboating red meat again?
Hashtag motorboating redneck.
Yeah, there's your next shirt. There's you guys' next shirt. It's Chewbacca sitting on a toilet eating red meat.
Just motorboating.
Well, that way it's
sucker.
Just like, you know, maybe their digestion's pretty quick, so it's just easier that way.
The only place to hide. You've got to put a towel under the door.
Like Molly finds, like, you know, big ham shank sitting in the toilet tank.
Won't go down. It won't flush. Clogs up an old Millennium Falcon with a stinking T-bone. Bone from a steak.
That's what
hands like.
It's like an airplane. It makes it just go off its course.
That's why they couldn't get off Hoth as quickly as Hoth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clear
out the toilets.
The toilet is on the Millennium Falcon is like a toilet on a travel bus. You don't use it. Yeah. It's just for show. Well, I mean,
the whole time Han's not banging on the control panels. He's banging on the pipe so all all the doo doo will fly it through it faster.
Doo doo. That's a first.
I know. We just go for shit on this show.
No, well, I'm trying to censor myself as best I can.
How dare you class us up with doo-doo, sir?
One of my favorite things to do on Chris and I's podcast is to curse crazy, but then when it comes to saying like I like to say doo-doo and poo-poo and pee-pee. Yeah.
the dad in you comes out. Yeah.
Instead of saying like shit.
Double P-word on this show, mister.
But yeah.
Oh my god.
Bunny of Falcons got some horrible doo-doo pipes. Real bad doo-doo pipe problem.
Oh.
The Chewy meat thing becomes ultimately just an excuse to get them in the net.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you're right.
It's one of those things.
It's just a ploy, but at the same time, Eddie is right. Why did he freak out when he saw that?
And how did the Ewoks know what flavor of meat Chewy liked?
Right. And they were going to eat Chewie also, right? They had him tied up, too.
Right, they were. Oh, he was next. Yeah, he's definitely next.
They're over there. We're saving their knives. Sharpening knives, getting ready to shave Chewbacca.
No, they were saving Chewbacca because the next week after that was going to be their Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. And traditionally they serve the biggest, hairiest thing they can find. Also, though, that they're going to cook everybody with their clothes on. Is that like or something? Or
yeah, it's like it's adding like garnish. Like it's like, you know how you throw bay leaves into your gumbo? You don't eat the bay leaves, but you still throw them in there.
Oh, wait, you don't eat those?
No, you're not supposed to eat.
Dang it. That's been my problem all these years.
That explains your Wookiee pipes.
Right, exactly.
Hashtag Wookiee pipes.
Yeah.
Right.
But I have this a similar problem, of course, with the big battle on Kashyyyk in episode 3, because for some reason Lucas and the ILM design department, everybody working on it, decided that the Wookiees all needed to be like roid rage Wookiees.
Yeah, they're all buff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You got crazy armor on and stuff.
Yeah, and the armor I'm not as much bothered with is the fact that they turned them all from Wookiees into gorillas, you know? It's like, what, can we get Stan Winston Studios and borrow the suits from Congo or something? Just retool them?
Yeah.
And it's like, did you...
Sad.
But then episodes 1 through 3, frankly, is an exercise in did you even watch episode, you know, 5 through or 4 through 6, because it seems to ignore everything that preceded it that it's supposed to precede.
Yeah.
So this is just yet another example. Either that or I think we may find the answer. This would be a great Jedi justifications if I was still writing those things. I hadn't gotten lazy and writing my own damn articles. The story of why Chewbacca is so gaunt in episodes 4 through 6 and so buff in episode 3, Han Solo and the vegetarian diet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Made him weak, man.
Yep. Yeah. So the second he saw a pulled pork sandwich.
Yeah, right.
Right.
In the middle of the woods, you know, this isn't raising the alarms. I mean, at least, you know, most everybody else realized that maybe just grabbing a sandwich sitting on a tree stump isn't a great idea.
It would have been awesome, though, if it was a sandwich and it was Han Solo that got him busted.
You know, I know what the next Rancor... Right, exactly. I know what the next Rancor Pit meme is going to be. It's going to be Chewbacca scratching his chin saying, you got any more of that red meat?
Yeah. Y'all got any more of that red meat?
Oh, my gosh.
I guess we should close this sucker out. Have we done enough damage to the Wookiee nation?
We've shaved this Wookiee bald.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a Brazilian Wookiee.
Eddie, is this what you had in mind?
this was beyond what I had in mind. This was awesome.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, this was more fun than I was hoping for. This was crazy. And I knew if I got you two guys on the show, the way y'all run your show is very similar to how we run our show.
Right.
So I thought, man, if we get all four of us together, who knows where this is going to
exactly.
go. But this went beyond my expectations, I gotta say.
We have so desecrated the Wookiees in Kashyyyk.
Right.
So if you came on the show expecting to hear some insightful commentary about the Wookiee race and Chewbacca himself, forget it. You know, not going to happen today. And the thing is, this was one of those topics I thought was perfect for just kind of meshing the two podcasts, because there was so much to talk about, and we could have a lot of fun with it. Without anybody feeling like, well, you know, well, you wasted your Wookiee topic. You realize how hard it would be to pad out a show about Wookiees for an hour and a half? So
it's not that hard.
we could have gone the route of other Star Wars podcasts. Yeah, I'm calling them out here, right now. And other podcasts are like, Lobaka begat Chewbacca.
Yes.
Chewbacca begat Ichibaka. Ichibaka begat Leabaka. You know, it's like they would just go through the whole Wookiee family tree. It's like, no, we don't do that. We take Chewbacca.
Which is appropriate.
And we shave him down. And we shave him down bald.
That's
and then
right.
What you get is you realize that Chewbacca looks more like something like, I don't know, what's that guy in the wheelchair?
It looks like I was going to say it looks like Mr. Clean, or he looks like Professor Peck.
No, what's the guy in the wheelchair that's real smart? I'm drawing blank.
What, Professor X? Oh, Stephen Hawking?
Yeah. You shake Chewbacca bald and he's Stephen Hawking.
Who's the guy in the wheelchair that's real smart? Professor X.
Well, he's bald.
Oh my gosh, Professor X. No, not make-believe, sir.
Still with Stephen Hawking, all I can picture now is Chewbacca in one of those powered wheelchairs, like, spelling out stuff, and all it's just like...
The problem is, Chewbacca in one of those powered wheelchairs, he can't go to Comic-Con because he's going to end up as a meme saying, best cosplay ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that and the electronic voice for Chewbacca sounded just like when he motorboats a piece of red meat.
Oh, my God. Okay, stop. We have to end on that one.
With that, I think we definitely need to go ahead and wrap things up here with the Rancor Pit at the Jedi Cold Universe at JediCold.com. You can write to us at don't write to us after this one, please, at jcumail@yahoo.com. You can, we're probably going to tweet something about red meat here on Twitter, at the Jedi Cold U. And, of course, yep. Eddie and I, the first and third Sundays of every month, over at the Rancor Pit Live, broadcasting from the CBS studios in, Russ Martin's old studio, no less.
That's awesome. That's cool.
Yes, it's been amazing. And we will be
The room is actually being put to good use now.
Very
what? What?
Yeah,
I said it.
Yeah.
He's better a wild man, dude. That guy's crazy.
I think some of us rubbing off when we get our asses in there, but look for us over on watchonairlive.com on the first and third Sundays of the month from 12 PM to 1 PM Central. As you're listening to this, we will be about a week out from the week that I will be over at AllCon, but Eddie and probably Stephen Fett will be taking over the show with the Talk Lord of the Sith himself, Zach Schroeder, while I'm over at AllCon busting my ass doing more game shows and stuff, and then Eddie's going to come back and we're doing more stuff. So, And of course, check out AllCon coming up March 16th through the 19th in Addison, Texas. The March 16th is free parking, no matter what the damn hotel tells you. Alcon paid for the damn parking for the weekend, so shut up, Crown Plaza, Addison. It's free parking. Come out and see us. I'm in like 29 different things or 30 some odd things over the course of the weekend. Over 400 different events crammed into 4 days. Check it out.
Yeah, and really quick before we get out of here, give us a plug again, guys, for the podcast.
Yeah, sure. You can find us on podbean.com/holynerdypodcast. You can find us on Twitter at holynerdypod. Instagram at Holy Nerdy Pod, and Facebook is facebook.com/holynerdypodcast.
Awesome.
Excellent. And Eddie and I, of course, will be back in 2 weeks with more simple tricks and nonsense here at the Rancor Pit on the Jedi Cult Universe.
Okay, everybody, let's give our best Wookiee roar on three. Yeah. 3, 2, 1.
Red meat.
This awesome music is provided by Ray Reezy. That's R-E-Y-R-Z-Y. You can find him on Instagram and SoundCloud. On Instagram, it's at R-E-Y-R-Z-Y. And on SoundCloud, it's soundcloud.com/R-E-Y-R-Z-Y. You can also contact him at rayreezymusic@gmail.com. Make sure you check out this guy's stuff. It's really awesome. Thanks for listening, and may the Force be with you.